message in John chapter 2, cleansing of the temple. And through this message, we want to clearly hear the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to build the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, now open our spiritual ears and eyes to hear and to see. We cannot do it with our own power. We have no power, Lord. Oh, we are hopeless and helpless before you. But Lord Jesus, through your mercy and grace, may we be changed. May we be transformed by the powerful word of God. Lord, we lift up this offerings to you. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Where you, the word says, where the money is, there's our treasure is where our heart be also. Lord Jesus, we give our heart to you. Receive this and multiply for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, so I'd like to give a message from what we just read. Okay, verse 19. Can you see verse 19 again? Do you have it in your outline? You don't have it, right? So please turn your Bible to verse 19. We are going to look at some of the scriptures today. So if you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 2, verse 19. Okay? John chapter 2, verse 19. Hallelujah. Always bring your Bible. Amen? You got it? Let us read verse 19. Begin. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Okay, close your Bible. Close your Bible. And we are going to recite without looking at the Bible, right? Do you have it memorized? It's very easy. Ready? Okay, repeat after me. Destroy the temple.
Destroy the temple.
And in 3 days.
And in 3 days.
I will raise it up.
I will raise it up.
One more time. Destroy the temple.
Destroy the temple.
And in 3 days.
In 3 days.
I will raise it up.
I will raise it up.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'd like to share the message from this one verse in the context of all chapter 2, the cleansing of the temple. Okay. We talked about principle of life in chapter 2, the first miracle Jesus performed in the wedding, right? Turning the water into wine. Turning the water into wine. Turning the death into life. That's the principle of life. Okay? Now, if you have a life, wherever you go, the life that is in you, the life of Christ that is in you, will be able to turn death into life. Amen. Will be able to turn sorrow into joy. Amen. Worry into peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that is the principle of life. Do you have life? Do you have life of Jesus?
Amen.
Then that principle of that life that you have in you will change death into life. So wherever you go, that life will shine. Jesus will shine. Jesus will be expanded. Jesus will be declared. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we have to understand why chapter 2 talks about the cleansing of the temple, and then later verses talk about Jesus first talk about the wedding in the Cana, right? The wedding in the Cana, turning the water into wine, the principle of life, and then right away Jesus talked about what? The cleansing of the temple. So the principle of life is changing death into life. What about the purpose of life? Purpose of life is to is to what? Build the body of Christ. Build the house of God. So in John chapter 2, first talked about the wedding, turning water into wine. And then second story talks about the cleansing of the temple, the building of the house of God. So it has to do with the principle. First story is principle of life. Second story has to do with purpose of life. Okay, so the principle of life is to change death into life. And the purpose of life is to build the life. Through that life, we build the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Everything in life has a purpose. There's nothing that has no purpose. Okay? What's the purpose of watch? What's the purpose of watch? To time it. To time it, right? What's the purpose of the chair? To sit, right? What's the purpose of the light? To give a light. What's the purpose of microphone? That's right, magnify the sound, right? So there's purpose for everything in this world. There's purpose for the every living creatures in this world. There's a purpose for man and woman. There's purpose for our life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if we fulfill that purpose, we call it meaningful life. If we don't fulfill that purpose, we call it meaningless life. It doesn't matter how rich person you become. It doesn't matter how successful person you become. If you do not fulfill the purpose of God, then your life becomes meaningless. But if you fulfill God's purpose in your life, then you will become meaningful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to live a meaningless or meaningful?
Meaningful.
Meaningful. Amen. Then we have to know the purpose of life. The very purpose of your life is to build the house of God. I pray that your spiritual eyes will be open today to understand this message. Because this message is so important. This message is so, so important. No matter what you do, everything you do on this earth, the purpose is to build the house of God. Your work, okay, brothers, you are working, right? Some of you are working. You're working to earn what? To earn money, right? To earn money. But what is the purpose of earning money?
To survive.
To survive? You want to survive? You want to survive or you want to glorify God with your money?
No, with money, physically we can survive. If we think about spirituality, so we can glorify God.
The purpose of earning money is to build the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The purpose of eating food is to build the body of Christ. The purpose of exercising is to build the body of Christ. Everything you do, everything you plan, your totality of your life is to build the body of Christ. Because that is the God's main purpose for your life. Oh Lord Jesus, may you see this mystery, God's mystery. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32 says, wives should obey, right? Husband like church obey Christ. And husbands ought to love wives like Christ loves the church. And then right after he says that, Apostle Paul says, I am not talking about husband and wife here. I am talking about great mystery, Christ in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ in the church. Christ is the head and church is the body. And that is the one new man. In this entire world, only one new man exists. So God's sole desire, God's number one desire is to see that one new man be built up. God's main desire is to see the bride of Christ be built up to prepare the way of the bridegroom to come. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, this is the purpose of God, and this is God's economy, God's will, God's goal. Everything you do should be done around this goal, around this purpose. Because this, it's meaningful. This is God's purpose. And this is the reason why God created Adam and Eve. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. The second point I would like to share with you is that we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let me look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. got it? Okay, begin. Do you not know that you are... Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, read it together, please. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Amen. Talk to somebody next to you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? This means people do not know. Right? This is a question God is asking, right? Do you not know that your body is a living temple of God? That the spirit indwells in you? This means not a lot of people know about this. We know maybe one time and then after that we forget about it. Praise the Lord, our bodies are the living temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here, Jesus Christ, when he came to the temple on the Passover feast, he saw money changers, he saw merchandise, he saw many people selling dolls and, you know, the lamb, all that. He see this merchandise going on. And he was so upset. You have to see this carefully. Listen. When you read the Bible, you have to see carefully, okay? Because every word means something. When he came to the temple, Jesus was so upset. He was probably not upset as this much in other places. In this place right there, in the temple, in the Passover, when he came, people were selling stuff. They were doing business there. Money changers, right? And he was so upset, he made a whip out of the cord, and then he just cast out people there. And he even overturned the table, Bible says, right? Now, Jesus Christ is meek, isn't it? He's a meek man, right? He doesn't get angry easily. But this time, he got so angry. Why? Because people are messing his temple. And he has this zeal. He had this zeal for the Father's house. For this reason, Jesus Christ came to this earth in the flesh. For this reason, he died on the cross. For this reason, he rose again from the death. For this reason, he became a life-giving spirit. And he came into me, and he's building the Father's house within me. And this is God's, Jesus' one and only desire. And he comes, and he said that this business is going on, he got so upset. He overturned. Praise the Lord, God wants to, God has a whip on his hand, and he's chasing. He's driving out whatever that does not belong to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God used many people as a whip in your life. Many times, if you're married, many times, God uses your husband as a whip. God uses your wife as a whip. You know? God uses our brothers to whip, to drive out. So if you are going through trials, if you are going through difficulties in your life, remember, God is cleansing your life. God is cleansing the temple. The greatest blessing in the Bible is transformation. And people transform through trials, through difficulties. So if God is using his whip to drive out what is worldly within us, praise the Lord. That is a sign that God loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you have done wrong, and God is not whipping you, there's a problem. Okay. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. He takes it away, right? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that I may bear more fruit. So if you are bearing fruit, meaning that if you are a child of God, God will prune you. What's the word prune here? You are the branch, right? Okay, Jesus Christ is the vine, and you are the branch. And you're bearing a little fruit, then God will prune you. God will cut. Right? God will cut unnecessary parts. So every time God cuts, there's a hurt. There's a trial. But praise the Lord, we will bear more fruit. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." So if you are his son, he will discipline you, and he will scourge you. Praise the Lord for the cleansing of the temple. Amen. Because we are becoming more like him every day. Amen. And we need more cleansing of the temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Let whatever is not of God, let it all be destroyed. That's why Jesus says, destroy the temple. And he meant his body. You know that, right? The Jews, they were saying, hey, it took 43 years, right? It took 43 years to build this temple, and you can raise it up in 3 days? And he meant his body. Jews only talk about it physical realm, but Jesus talks about it in a spiritual realm. When you read the Bible, you have to understand spiritually. Because God is spirit, and you are spirit, and the word of God is spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, my favorite part is this one, the part number 3. This is my favorite part. Verse 20, remember? Verse 19. Again, destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will build it up. I will raise it up. Let's recite this one more time. Destroy the temple. Come on. Destroy the temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now this is my favorite part. I love it. I love it. Jesus says, destroy the temple. Okay, so what we have to apply that, right? Listen, brothers, we have to apply that now. Jesus talking to him, to the people, destroy the temple here, and this temple signifies the body of Christ. All the body of Christ is talking about what? Natural. So the first thing I want to say, the point is, listen, what Satan destroyed was the body of Jesus. Small and weak. But when Jesus died as the body of Jesus, right? When he died on the cross, in 3 days, Jesus says, I'll raise it up. That means the body of Jesus, small and weak, was crucified on the cross. But then in 3 days, he rose again from the dead and he became body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you get this? Body of Jesus signifies what is natural. What? Body of Jesus signifies what is natural. And what is natural must be destroyed. Must be destroyed. But God uses the enemy to destroy the body of Jesus. So Satan destroyed the body of Jesus, and that gave Jesus an opportunity to come alive with the body of Christ. The Christ signifies Messiah. Christ means Messiah. The anointed one. Satan cannot destroy Christ. Satan cannot destroy or hinder the divine life, which is God. But Satan can only destroy what is natural. And that's what he did. He destroyed the temple of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus. And praise the Lord,
Satan destroyed so that Jesus Christ came up with a glorious and resurrected body.
Amen.
That's who we are. That's who we are.
Amen.
I want you to understand that's who we are. That the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, what happened was that we become the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not body of Jesus. Body of Jesus was destroyed by the enemy on the cross, but the body of Christ, we are. The resurrected body, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glorious body, amen.
Amen.
The living body. So I want you to see this. If you don't see this, I'm telling you, you're going to waste your life. It doesn't matter if you become millionaire with lots of money, no. I'm telling you, this is the core heart of Christ. This is the reason why God came in the flesh. This is the reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross. To birth the body of Christ.
Amen.
To birth the body of Christ.
Amen.
In you and in me, there's a body of Christ. There's a life of Christ.
Yes.
Do you see that? In you and in me, there's a life of Christ. And that cannot be destroyed by the enemy. Do you see it? Praise the Lord, Satan can destroy the temple, the body of Jesus. Praise the Lord, let Satan destroy the body of Jesus in this church. What is natural, it must be destroyed. And we don't have to, as we read today's message, we don't have to be discouraged. Because what he's destroyed is only natural. Only Satan can only destroy what is natural. And it needs to be destroyed. Hallelujah. When it's destroyed, the body of Christ, the power of resurrection will come forth. Amen.
Amen.
Remember last week's message? That we are the vessels, six vessels in the wedding in the Cana? Remember that story? The water needs to be filled up to what?
Brim.
Up to the what?
Brim.
Up to the brim.
Yes.
When the water fill up to the brim, when the death fill up to the brim, then the water turn into wine.
Amen.
Do you get my point?
Yep.
Do you get my point, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Do you do?
Amen.
You really do?
Amen.
You do?
Amen.
Meaning that our natural life has to be destroyed. And if it's destroyed 10%, then you are going to experience resurrection power 10%. If your natural life is destroyed 50% by the enemy, then you will experience 50% of resurrection power. If your natural life is destroyed 90% by the enemy, then you will experience 90% of crisis and resurrection.
Amen.
Do you see this point? Hallelujah!
Amen.
That's why the song we sing, amen, the trials. Welcome tribulation. Kingdom's ours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let Satan destroy the natural body.
Amen.
What is natural? Let Satan destroy. Hallelujah. I pray God will destroy more due to Satan, right? Due to the enemy. That it will destroy more of our natural stuff that is in us. We have so much natural stuff that is in us, don't we? Don't we have that? We have the selfish ambition. We want to be somebody. We want to be somebody. Even in the church, there's so many people wants to be somebody. We are nobody. Then God will make us somebody someday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And husband and wife, husband wants to be somebody. Always want to be served. No, we need to be nobody. Serve, wife. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor wants to be somebody. No, pastor needs to be nobody. Oh, we are nobody before Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So listen, brothers and sisters. When you are facing trials in your life and difficulties, let it be. Don't stop it. Let it be. Because Satan is using it. Satan is attacking. Satan is interrupting it. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God will use that Satan's work to bring forth resurrection power.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, when there is an interruption of the enemy, there's an interruption by the enemy, it only brings the opportunity for mighty God to come and to work. Hallelujah. Remember the scripture, Matthew 16, 18 says, I will build my church upon this rock. Amen?
Amen.
Remember that? Amen. Let's recite together. Ready? I.
Somebody know this scripture? Would you stand and recite loudly? Come on, somebody. Somebody, huh?
Matthew 16, 18.
I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of Hades will not prevail.
Hallelujah. You shall be called Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or hate cannot prevail. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you because Satan cannot prevail your church.
Amen.
Satan cannot prevail this body of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. We are the overcomers. We are the winners.
Amen.
Satan cannot defeat the Lord. Jesus Christ is the ultimate overcomer. He's our victory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Trials. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, people. Amen. The trials.
Amen.
Say amen. The trials.
Amen.
Welcome tribulation.
Welcome tribulation.
Kingdom's ours.
Kingdom's ours.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the destroying of the temple.
Amen.
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 Thank you, because when Satan destroys the temple, Jesus Christ will come forth with the resurrection power.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to end my message with this three stones. Remember, I mentioned this last Sunday. I'm going to repeat again. So, the purpose of life is to build the house of God. Is to build the church. Then, all of you, God has bought you with His blood of Christ. God bought you with His blood, amen?
Amen?
And you have become stone now. You are stones. You are stone, like a Peter. Peter means rock. You are rock. You are stone. Greet somebody. Hi, stone.
Hi,
stone. Hi, pretty stone. Hi, tough stone. Hi, handsome stone. Hi, quiet stone. If you are quiet, not talking all the time, you're a quiet stone or a silent stone. I hope that you're not mute stone. You need to open your mouth and speak Jesus. Okay, listen. So, you are stone, but the three kinds of stone. Scattering stone, piling stone, or building stone. Which stone you want to be?
Building stone.
Huh? Okay, let me define it. Scattering stone, they come to church on and off. Come on, pay attention now. Pay attention. I'm waiting for attention of the 100%. Pay attention. It is so important. Scattering stones are those who come to church on and off. Ah, today I'm so tired. Oh, Pastor Paul, understand me. Oh, today I gotta go hospital. It's 2 o'clock. I gotta go to hospital. Oh, I gotta play soccer today. So I'll play soccer. It's my soccer day. I love the soccer. I go, Pastor Paul, Jesus will understand me. So people come and on and off. I hope there's no scattering stones here. This body of Christ is the very purpose of our Father.
Amen.
Is to build this body. Amen?
Amen.
So who are these piling stones? Piling stones are those people who come to church on Sunday and don't do anything. Just come to church. If you come to church on Sunday and not doing something, you are piling stones. Who's a building stone? When you come to church and you are mingled, you are connected. You are mingled and connected with the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you are praying together. You are studying the Bible together. You are sharing Christ together. You are witnessing together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have joined the church life. Some brother, they asked me this point. Why do I have to join the small group? I don't see much difference between small group and the service here. This is my answer. It's not same. It's never the same. Sunday service here is a celebration where we come and we celebrate, we display the magnificence of God, the glorious Christ, by prophesying, speaking Christ, praying together. Small group, you don't do that as a body of Christ. But small group, you share your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You heard the message and you said, I think I am piling stone. And you share your life. You share your weaknesses. You share your prayer request. And there in a small group, you share. And as you share your life, you open your heart and you share your life, you will be connected intimately. Hallelujah. And as you are being connected, when you go home, you will think about your members of your small group. That's called brothers. Hallelujah. If you are brothers and sisters, you will think about them. You will pray for them. And time to time, you miss them, you will call them. Hey, buddy, how you doing, Alex? How are you doing? You know, you doing all right? I miss you. I want to see you. This is normal. This is a normal relationship in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not about just come to church on Sunday and say, hi, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then go and then no relationship. That's not small group. I do not want religious small group. Where you meet for 30 minutes. Hey, how are you doing? No. I want deeper relationship with one another. That's called building stones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said this last Sunday, but I want to repeat it again. If you love Jesus, and you have, if your relationship with Jesus is good, then your relationship with your brother will be good too. If your relationship with Christ is deep, then your relationship with your brother will be deep. At least one or two brothers. Now, maybe not all of them, but maybe one or two. You should have it. Am I making myself sense? Do you agree? Huh? If you love Jesus and you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet you don't have that deep relationship with your brothers and sisters, Bible says, how can you say you love God, yet you do not love your brother? Does this make sense? Oh, Lord Jesus, may God open our eyes and see the value and need for the small group. Amen?
Amen.
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 I'm willing to sacrifice the worship time if you want to have more time on the small group. It's the same value. Service is important as well as small group is important. It's very important. It's like this is a large gathering, and small group is a small group. It's a small group gathering, but it's the Christ, still Christ there. This is Christ, enlarged Christ, large Christ, small group is small Christ. It's like Jesus Christ is manna, small, that we can eat, but he's the angel, he's the big, he's a king, right? He's big and strong. This is a corporate body of Christ, but a small group, it's a mini body of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I pray that we will become piling stone. Not building stone. I said piling. Now it's time to finish the service. Amen. Okay. Let's do this. Let's end our service with this. Can you gather with your small group now and pray together? And then right after that, you can just have a small group meeting right smoothly. And I'm sure Korean staff will provide us snacks. Okay? Can you do that? Quickly. Everybody stand up and then gather with your group. Come on. 우리 한 분들은 한 분들끼리 한번 모여서 같이